In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So this morning we return to the mountain upon which Jesus was transfigured before the eyes of Peter, James, and John. Now, we may well believe that none of us in our journeys upon this earth will see or have a moment so glorious. And yet, I don't think that that is completely accurate. I think that we are often tempted by the clock to believe that our life and the time of our life passes evenly and indifferently. Sort of like as the hands move on a clock very mechanically without any up or down. But that is not our experience. When the apostles saw Jesus transfigured on the mountain, they remembered it for the rest of their lives. But they also interpreted its light. And they interpreted everything that they had known about Jesus and everything that they were to experience in life through this light, through this glory of Jesus. That is what Peter is, after all, referring to when he is an old man and he is facing martyrdom in Rome. And he writes, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Such moments of their glorious light shed light on not only what comes after, but also has what has come before. Imagine for a moment what it must have been like for the Jews who were returning from their captivity in Babylon. As they walked home and they thought about what they had to do, they knew they had to rebuild the walls and they had to rebuild the temple. And they also knew they had to return in repentance to their Lord, who had promised them long ago this land to be their promised land. So the priest Ezra at the time gathered all the men and all the women and all the children who could understand. And we are told, and all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. And the people, hearing this, wept. They knew their sins. They knew the sins of their ancestors, which had caused them to be cast out from the land. And now they were returning. And with all their hearts, they wished to be reunited with their Lord. And so they wept some more. But this was a day of glory, not of sadness. So said Ezra, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to those who had nothing ready to eat. For this day is holy unto the Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And interestingly, they kept this feast for 7 days, almost as if they were celebrating the recreation of the entire world. Moments of transfiguration. Moments when clouds open and we see glory. But not necessarily moments of what we would call pure pleasure or joyous jubilation, as some would have you believe. A sort of theology of glory. Rather, these moments, they don't always fit into our lives as much as we are fitted into them. And that fitting, mind you, can be very hard and painful, if not even violent. This is what Peter did not want to understand. This is what we do not want to understand. He wanted to remain with the transfigured Jesus, with the glorified Moses and Elijah. And we get that. We want that. And it's not bad to desire such a thing. That glory, mind you, is what we were created for and to have lived in forever. To have worshipped our Lord in true fear, love, and trust forever. And so we sing, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." But you have to keep singing. "'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we cannot remain." Why? Because of our sin. Because of our disobedience. Because of our fallenness. But we do bid Jesus, as the hymnist goes on to say, to come with us to the plain. And so he does. There is another mountain in view here that's somewhat hard to see sometimes in English. But the only three that grasp this day in its totality are Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. They knew that this was simply an oasis in an otherwise wilderness or desert. They knew that this was an island of joy just waiting to become a glorious and eternal city built by the Son of God, yet Son of Man. We know what they were talking about. They were talking about his departure. Literally, as we read it in the Greek, his exodus. In other words, they were not in the promised land. You and I are not in the promised land. On either side of the Transfiguration Mountain, we see clues of this reality, that this is not the end. Shortly before this, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to have to suffer, and he was going to have to die, and that he would be raised by the glory of his Father on the third day. And he told them that if they tried to keep their lives in this world, they would lose them. But if they lost their lives for his sake in this world, they would keep them forever in the world which was to come. So Jesus would soon leave this mountain and head to another mountain, Mount Calvary, as you know. And as he said, he would set his face toward Jerusalem. And many would not receive him. Many would fall away because of the scandal of this other mountain, this strange glory. The glory of the transfigured Jesus, the glory of the Son, which is shared with the Father from eternity. But we don't get to share that. For there is something preventing us from seeing that glory. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we see we cannot remain. Moses realized that. Moses did not get to see God's full glory when he lived on earth, as God told him that he could not see his face and live. And you and I don't get to the land of promise automatically. Israel doesn't get out of slavery automatically. Israel doesn't get out of slavery without an exodus. And that exodus requires the shedding of blood. So, Peter, James, and John don't get to stay up on the mountain. The glory cannot remain like that. Another mountain is necessary, but in a completely mystifying way, It's the same glory as the glory on the transfigured mountain of Jesus. The Son is the glorious one from eternity. But the glory of the man who is God doesn't look like that on earth. There is another mountain surrounded by darkness where hammer and nails cling together, where blood drips, where the cries of a son pierce the ears of a father, where no one would want to build any sort of tent and stay a while, where God dies and man is bewildered by the glory that tabernacled, that tented, that dwelt among them. And apart from that mountain, there is no glory. For who has seen the glory of Jesus apart from these few apostles? Who has seen resurrection? We haven't. We've only seen the glory of the cross. But again, that is not another glory. That is not a lack of glory. I think perhaps our problem often is that we romanticize the glory of the transfiguration, all the while seeing the cross as some unfortunate bump in the road. No. These are two sides of the same glory. Jesus says to the disciples on the road headed to Emmaus, "Didn't you know that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer all these things and to enter into His glory?" One is the glory of God as it is in heaven, and the other is the glory of God as it is on earth. And one day, the earth will be as it is in heaven in the new heavens and the new earth. But for now, we cannot and we will not see any glory but that of the crucified one who has accomplished our exodus out of sin and death. For now, we wander in the wilderness singing, "Alleluia cannot always be our song while here below." But we know that the land of promise is not only behind us and before us, but is also ahead of us. As surely as the crucified one is at the same time the resurrected one. So moments of transfiguration, moments of glory along this earthly sojourn, think about them, because they are not often what you think they are. For while the glory of the earth is seen, the glory of the new heavens and the new earth is unseen. This glory is hidden from mortal eyes, and yet mortal bodies, you receive them. They are behind you even as they are in front of you. It's your baptism. Done long ago, largely on a day you don't even remember, but whose glory continues to enlighten your path, to teach you and to show you who you are as a child of God and who your Heavenly Father is, to remind you and to carry that new created flesh into the new heavens and new earth through all the toils and tribulations you suffer while here below. It's the absolution of a new word, a new day, a new dawning in those words, "I forgive you all your sins." To start anew in grace and to sacrificially love those around us. It's the Lord's Supper. You eat and you drink it. A moment where you confess that your eyes see the salvation of your God. that is set before you, the glory of the new Israel, your exodus complete. For the joy, the wonder, the transfigurating light works backward and forward, as we might well expect, as God Himself, as you know, is not bound to time, but has bound Himself to the promises that He has spoken to you. We will see that glory, and we will share that glory that the apostles saw. But as you well know, not until we are on the other side of death, when we see our resurrection in its completeness, we will find our eternal home in that glorious land of promise that He has prepared for us and to which He is leading us day in and day out. And which is the way to the Mount of Transfiguration? Well, it requires that other mountain with the same glory. It is the path of death and resurrection. It is His exodus out of death and into life, which is, by your baptism, your exodus out of death and into life. From a glory that is hidden to a glory that is fully realized in body and soul, where your eyes and your hands and your flesh see God, as Job confessed. It is losing your life in this world for the sake of Him who died for you, that He would rescue you and to keep your life in this world, bringing it into completion in the world which is to come. Though we cannot see the glory now, and we cannot build tents and bask in that shining glory forever, Peter, in his aging years, says that you and I have something far more sure than this momentary vision. It's the prophetic word of God, which, as Peter also confesses, is the testimony of Jesus Christ Himself. That is, you have Jesus now in His body and His blood. And therefore you have Him in His death and in His resurrection. That is your assurance that what you eat here as a foretaste, you will one day eat as a full marriage supper of the Lamb, which shall have no end. That all the things that you have longed for and waited for will be accomplished. It will be seen by you, just as they were seen by Moses and Elijah, by Peter and James and John, and just as those who have died in Christ see them, the holy ones of God, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.